seriously popular.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The former nurse, Lucy Letby, has been found guilty
of murdering 7 babies and attempting to kill 6 others
at the Countess of Chester Hospital
between June 2015 and June 2016.
Babies who seemed to be doing reasonably well would suddenly collapse. Lucy Letby was the common factor.
The verdicts make the 33-year-old
Britain's most prolific baby killer.
This was a podcast about one of the most anticipated criminal trials for years. It's now a podcast about one of the worst serial killers in modern times. At 12:52 p.m. on Friday, August the 18th, 2023, we brought you the news that a neonatal nurse was guilty of killing babies in her care.
After a trial lasting for over 10 months and more than 110 hours of painstaking deliberation, the jury decided that Lucy Letby murdered 7 babies at the Countess of Chester Hospital and she tried to kill 6 more.
She was cleared of 2 further charges of attempted murder and the jury could not reach verdicts on 6 further allegations.
I'm Liz Hull, Northern correspondent for The Mail. I've been in court throughout and have reported on the case as it developed.
And I'm Caroline Cheatham, a broadcast journalist. Every week, we've examined what's happened and brought you the details behind the headlines.
This is the trial of Lucy Letby.
We were really fortunate that the detectives in this case gave us a lot of their time, and we wanted to bring you more of those interviews. And one of the key things we wanted to bring you today was something that came up across this trial, which was that Lucy Letby abused the trust, not only of the babies and the parents in this case, but also of her colleagues.
Welcome to episode 56, Violation of Trust.
Lucy Letby went under the radar for so long and effectively was a sort of killer in plain sight, if you like, because on the face of it, she was a good, competent nurse. She was also incredibly helpful. She offered to do extra shifts. Mm. She offered to do the night shifts that people didn't like so much. She offered to do the extra Sunday shifts. People went on a break. She was the one to cover. What we now know, of course, is that that was the opportunity that she then took to harm children. And we've talked a lot about the abuse of trust, if you like, of the parents and the babies. We've not talked a lot about the abuse of trust of her colleagues, the people that she regarded, if you look at the text messages that she was sending, as a family.
Yeah, and she had friends on the unit. She was friends with people outside of work, and she was a good nurse. You know, she wasn't a brilliant nurse. She wasn't a terrible nurse. She was, you know, a competent nurse on that ward. And obviously, her colleagues trusted her, and she used her ability to manipulate that trust to kill and harm these children. Detective Chief Inspector Nicola Evans was the deputy senior investigating officer in the case, and she generously gave her time to speak to us, to talk about this point, to talk about how Lucy Letby abused the trust, not only of the babies, their parents, but crucially of the colleagues that she was working with.
I wanted to start by just highlighting the fact that for many of these parents, for all of these parents, their children collapsed and some died many, many years ago. And they thought what happened to their children was natural causes. Tragic and awful, but natural. So for you to knock on their door as an investigation team and say that was wrong, and then have them support you in this investigation must have been huge for those families. And I wonder whether you just talk us through those sorts of moments and conversations.
Yes, so it's unimaginable what they're going through. And I actually can't begin to imagine how they feel now, how they felt at the beginning of this investigation. And for us, from a police perspective, we usually start with a crime and we usually investigate from the point of a crime. This case was really different in that we started right back at the birth of these babies, and the initial parts of the investigation was to establish had a crime occurred. And at the point we had established that on medical expert reports and advice, we then clearly arrested Lucy Letby, and also at that point told the families that we believed that something suspicious had happened to their child. It really wasn't lost on any of the investigation team that for the families that had lost babies, they were in a process of grief. That grief lasts many, many years. For some people, never goes away. I can't even begin to imagine how they feel. But for us to then go and tell them that actually we believe somebody had harmed their baby, it was really difficult. It was really challenging. All of the families in this case have had and have acted with such resilience throughout the investigation and composure. And during the trial itself, the dignity that they've displayed and the compassion that they've displayed during that process has just been really overwhelming.
There's been some really difficult moments where, you know, some, you know, mums and dads have had their account of what happened challenged, obviously, because Lucy Letby's barrister's doing a job as well and has challenged their account. And they have that as well. It must have been so hard for them to listen to. But they've, you know, they've done it, haven't they, with a lot of dignity and bravery, really. I think it's bravery as well.
Yeah, their strength has just been, it has been overwhelming, their strength. A courtroom is such a forensic place to be. Yeah. The evidence has had to be presented in a blunt manner so that everybody understands what case we're putting forward. And then clearly the defence have the opportunity to question that evidence and to interrogate that evidence. And to imagine to be sat there as a mother or a father listening to that about your own baby, It's almost unimaginable, and I can't begin to think of how they feel and how they've got through this process over the last 10 months.
In terms of the way this came and to your desk in the first instance and how you first were aware of anything going on at the Countess, can you walk us through the moment, I suppose, when you first got a call or the letter or whatever it was that arrived at Cheshire Police, but also then the realisation of what you might be dealing with?
Yeah, so the Countess of Chester, they wrote a letter to the Chief Constable and they asked for Cheshire Police to investigate. And at that point for us, it was about listening to what they were telling us, what they were reporting to us, but keeping a really open mind as to what had happened. And that's why we went right back to the beginning to establish if a crime had occurred. And I think for everybody on the investigation at that point, and then as it moved on, there was a real disbelief that this could have happened. Mm-hmm. And so I think everybody in the very early days, we believed we'd find a natural cause.
Yeah.
We thought we would speak to the experts and the experts would tell us what had happened mm-hmm. to these children, to these babies. We never anticipated the experts to come back to tell us that they'd been inflicted harm. And so when they did, that was a huge point in the investigation. The objective has always been to tell the families what happened to their babies. But in those early days, it was very hard to believe that somebody would have committed these crimes at all.
Well, I was going to say that. So the experts come back to you and say, you know, we think these babies have been harmed deliberately. I mean, you know, you're a seasoned detective. There must have been disbelief in your team that someone could have done that to tiny, vulnerable children.
It's really hard to accept. It's really hard to understand. It was back then. It still is now. How anybody could harm a baby. But on top of that, how anybody could harm a baby in a neonatal unit. And I think that is something that resonates with us as an investigation team, but also with the doctors and nurses, the people that were on the neonatal unit at the time.
And it's almost like the ultimate breach of trust though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and there's been a lot of talk about her operating in plain sight, because if I was there with my child in that ward and saw a nurse doing something with a long line that Lucy Letby's supposed to have done, like she's supposed to have done, you would not question what she was doing, because you would assume that she was doing the best for your baby. So I think that is really a crucial part of this case, that the breach of trust, really difficult for the families to accept that as well.
Yeah, it is. It's huge. Nobody would expect. And I think that's come out in the evidence, in that when these collapses and deaths occurred, nobody was thinking that somebody was harming babies, because why would that enter anybody's rational thoughts at that time, particularly not the parents? You would just never, ever consider that as an option for them.
Have you ever felt like escaping to your own desert island? Jane Gaskin did exactly that, trading in the family home to begin a new life in the tropics. But she soon discovers that paradise has its secrets. I'm Alice Levine, and this is The Price of Paradise, the island dream that ends in kidnap, corruption, and murder. Wish you were here? Follow The Price of Paradise now, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
We heard a lot in the trial that you've been in every single day about the four consultants in particular. They did raise concerns. They did think the unthinkable. And, you know, nothing happened for a long time. I know the hospital will answer for themselves, but do you wish someone had done something sooner?
I don't think there's anybody that's connected to this case that doesn't wish that somebody had done something sooner. Lucy Letby is responsible for her actions. And I'm unable to answer for the Countess of Chester themselves as to what the actions they took. At the point the police were asked to investigate, we received full cooperation from everybody within the hospital. And we've spoken to thousands of witnesses. Hundreds of them have been part of the trial process, and the impact on them and everybody involved is huge. And I think that just goes some way to show people's endeavour to ensure that the families have the answers that they deserve, and that's much wiser than the police. To go back to your question, I don't think there is anybody that doesn't wish that this was raised earlier and that the police weren't involved earlier.
And we know that Operation Hummingbird's still in fact still ongoing. I'm from Chester. There'll be lots of parents like myself from Chester who will be looking back and thinking of the time that they had their children in the Countess, thinking, you know, can I be sure that, you know, my baby wasn't harmed?
The investigation is still ongoing, and I think the public would expect us to still be investigating the whole of Lucy Letby's career after the verdicts. But that investigation is still ongoing. It is wide-reaching. That's in relation to the Countess of Chester and the time that Lucy Letby was at the Liverpool Women's Hospital.
Have people been in touch with you already, or have you been in touch with them?
We do have a basis for people to contact us, and people do contact us from the public. For those wider investigations, anybody who is part of that, they are aware of that and are being supported by our team. So I would say if anybody has any concerns, to contact us. But if we were concerned about their cases, then they would already know about that.
One of the key moments in the trial that really resonated in the last couple of weeks, actually, which goes to your point about the footprint going back to 2011 when she began her career, was the course that she went on, where as part of that course, the dangers of embolus were outlined, and also that she was able at some point to then administer treatment down a long line. I wonder if one of the concerns, I suppose, is that she got better at successfully attacking children.
I think we mentioned earlier about her operating in plain sight and her abusing the trust of people around her. And clearly, as that has gone on, you would say there is an argument for somebody to become more confident in what they were doing because they weren't being stopped. Whether that's happened here, I can't comment on from the evidence, but clearly our case has always been, and it's been clear throughout the trial, that Lucy Letby was a competent nurse. She knew how to do her job, and the people around her believed in her as a competent nurse, and she used that as a cover for her crimes.
So she was trusted to watch children when people went on breaks or to help another colleague, and always helpful to step in when needed, offering to do extra shifts, things like that.
And that's certainly what's come out from the witnesses during the trial, that Lucy Letby herself described them as a small family. They were close colleagues, they trusted each other, and they were, lots of them, friends outside of the unit. And that's been clear from the evidence that we've heard in the trial and from the evidence of Lucy Letby herself. But clearly, she has used that trust on an unimaginable level to commit some horrendous crimes. And the impacts of that on those people is also great.
There's not really been any motive offered up apart from, you know, she enjoyed the attention, the drama, you know, maybe she wanted to get the attention of this married doctor that she was close to. Can you put your finger on what her motive was? Why it seems, you know, to an ordinary person, like you said before, it seems absolutely incredible that anyone would be able or capable of doing this.
Yeah, I think we've seen all of those motives explored during the trial, and our objective was to tell the families what have happened. One of the things that I don't believe we have been able to do is to tell them why. As a police officer, that's really hard to take. Undertaking was to tell them what has happened, and not being able to tell them why it is difficult. And I don't think I couldn't put my finger on what exactly the motive has been, and ultimately only Lucy Letby can answer that. She has had an opportunity during the trial and during her interviews and has continually denied the offences, and it's my view that she will continue to deny them. And so we might never have that answer for the families.
When you arrested her, she didn't stay quiet. You know, she gave evidence in the witness box. Do you think she thought she was cleverer than you? Not just the police, everyone. Do you thought that she'd done enough to get away with it?
I wonder whether she fully understood the forensic lengths we would go to understand this case, and the level of expert evidence and advice that we would take. I don't know that for sure, but my own opinion is that Lucy Letby didn't necessarily understand the depths that we would go to ensure that we got this right and that we understood what had happened. And therefore, in those interviews, she did provide a lot of evidence that has been used during the trial, and conflicting accounts from her herself that we have ultimately analysed and interrogated against the rest of the case. And that's been really important and impactful for the jury.
In terms of her, if you like, we've talked about motive and that she operated in plain sight, that she was competent. People have described her as a bit anonymous, you know, a little bit beige, if you like. What was your view of her?
From the evidence that we've gained through the investigation, I would say she was a normal 20-something-year-old at the time, and she had a group of friends and her family and a social life. Nothing that you wouldn't expect from somebody of her age at that point and at that time. I think the fact that she was kind of nondescript and average in work allowed her to go under the radar and allowed her to commit these offences and abuse the trust of the people around her, because there wasn't anything outrageous about her. There wasn't anything stand out about her. She was, you know, beige or vanilla.
Have you found anything in her background that you would point, oh, that's a bit odd, that might be why she's done this? Or, I mean, she seems to have had quite a normal upbringing as well, you know, grew up in a cul-de-sac in a town in like Hereford, which is very much like Chester, actually, very quite small cathedral place, you know, seems, maybe it's just because you can't comprehend it, but it seems odd that she's so ordinary.
On a human level, everybody tries to kind of figure out why. There must be something in her background, or there must be something that's happened to her that has led to these crimes. And I think that makes this more shocking for everybody that involved, that we haven't necessarily found anything that could point towards a reason why, as investigating murders, we often find that we understand why something has happened, not necessarily that we agree with that, but we understand why something may have occurred, and we haven't found that in this case. But I'm not sure anything explains these crimes, and I'm not sure there is anything that we could have found that would actually lead me to understand why she's done it, because it is so unimaginable.
I wanted to go back to one of your points earlier, Letby herself described them as a family, if you like, on the doctors and the nurses on this unit were a family. One of the things that was so shocking when we've outlined it on the podcast and when we've heard it in court, and the efforts made by these doctors and nurses to save the lives of these children. Some of these children had 50 minutes of CPR. Some of these children were bleeding.
The impact on them and what they have experienced and gone through is huge. Some of the work that they've done during this period has been extraordinary, and they have gone to every length to save these babies. They have cooperated completely with us throughout, and their endeavour to this case, it's staggering as to how they're feeling and how tense they've been during this period. Particularly for the nurses, Lucy Letby has violated their trust. She has violated their trust in their unit, in their profession, on a huge, unimaginable scale. And ultimately, that's been laid out for everybody to see. And that must be so difficult to then go back into work every day and still provide that high level of care that they're providing. It's remarkable the impact this has had on people's lives, but also how people have reacted to that.
You've talked a lot about the impact on everybody else. You've been in this investigation since the beginning, and I just wonder what the impact has been on you.
It's really difficult to talk about us and how this has been for the police, because our whole objective, this whole investigation, has been about providing those answers. It's been an emotional process, and one that I think none of us will ever forget and will always be part of. I don't think any of our team will come out of this trial the same person they were at the beginning. But it really is difficult to answer because it isn't about us.
So that's it for episode 56. You can catch more of our post-verdict episodes on Mail Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can give us a rating and you can share the podcast. You can also follow me at Liz Hull or send us an email at thetrialoflucyletby@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Lucy Letby Trial or follow me at Radio Caroline.
See you then.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.